brothers coming to Egypt. And Joseph recognizing them, they don't recognize him. And all of the interplay between them during this time, and eventually he was given back to Jacob, that Joseph is alive. These are, well, personally, I really get involved in these chapters. Now, before we start reading, we want to remind ourselves that in the life, in the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, what these things represent. Now, remember, Joseph's brethren sold him out to slavery and sold him out to death. Joseph's brethren rejected him. And once they saw him leaving for to be seen no more as far as they were concerned, the next time they would see him is a time when he is in power and glory. And that's what it would be like with Israel. Israel rejected one of their own. The Lord Jesus came as a Jew. He was born in the people of Israel. And his own brethren rejected him. Now the Gentiles, they did their own bad things too. But Israel, his own people, would not receive him. They rejected him. And the last that they saw of him was on a cross. And generations and generations and generations have gone by. And the next time that Israel as a whole on earth will see the Lord Jesus is when he's going to be coming in power and glory. Just like these when they saw Joseph's brothers. So, this is going to be the picture. Now, when the Lord Jesus returns, the circumstances of his return are described in Zechariah 12 to 14. And basically, Israel is going to be going through an awful time of tribulation. The tribulation will be over the whole world, but Israel in particular will be suffering in the tribulation, particularly in the Great Tribulation. And as these 3.5 years are coming to their close, things are going to be getting worse and worse for Israel. And just like a noose tightening around the neck, things are getting worse and worse for Israel, just like it was for Israel, for Judah, when Sennacherib came down to take Judah and Jerusalem, and the noose was tightening there. And Hezekiah went and prayed in the temple and spread the threatening letters before the Lord. And just when it looked like there was no hope, the angel of the Lord came and destroyed the enemy. And it's going to be similar for Israel. At the end of the tribulation period, their things are going to be getting worse and worse for them, to the point where they cry out to God, and they cry out in genuine repentance. They cry out to God for deliverance. And who comes to deliver them but the Lord Jesus? The last individual they think they would see is the Lord from heaven coming down, and they recognize him as the one that they in generations past had pierced. And there's great mourning for what has happened. And this passage, although it's going to have a lot of differences with what would happen to Israel, the end result is the same. And that is, you have people who have sinned, they've rejected their brother, and then in need and for repentance, they call out, and he reveals himself, and they are astonished at who he is. All right, so let's read it. Genesis 42, beginning at verse 1. When Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" And he said, "Indeed, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down to that place and buy for us there, that we may live and not die." So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, "Let some calamity befall him." So, fascinating that these brothers are probably, the 10 brothers are probably all at least 40. These are grown men, and yet they still are operating as one family. Jacob is still talking to all together. They've not disseminated to the point where they're not functioning together as one family. Now, the famine that struck Egypt also struck other places as well, including Canaan, and they're suffering in the famine. Now, it's not just these sons. Not much later, they're going to go down to Egypt as 70 people, meaning that there are plenty of children that need to be fed. There are possibly grandchildren for some of them, and the family is growing. There are wives involved, and so on. So, the famine striking is a big deal, not just for the men themselves, but they have little ones that they're looking at. So this is serious. But Jacob, in some chapters past, seemed like he may have been losing a little bit of grip on his family. He now is the one taking charge. Why do you look at one another? Go and buy. Now, one mistake Jacob is not going to make this time. And probably for the last 20 years, he's been telling himself, I'm not going to do to Benjamin what I did to Joseph. He probably is never leaving Benjamin alone with the brothers. He's never letting Benjamin go further than the end of the driveway. He's not going to let anything happen to Benjamin. And so the ten go. Now, it's curious, and I don't have a good answer why Joseph did not send word back that he was alive, or that he didn't apparently send some spies back to check out his family. We certainly don't read about that, and every indication is that he did not. But Joseph, in his wisdom, did not, and possibly knew that he didn't have to rely on doing that because of his prophetic dreams that he had, that one day the chiefs would bow to him. One day, including even his father and so on. So perhaps he was relying on that. But Joseph knew that the time of famine would come, and it's quite likely that Joseph was getting it, that the brothers are going to come. All right. So in this time, Jacob is having a difficult time as well. Jacob's going to see his brothers go down. They're going to have trouble down there, and we're going to read about that soon. But remember, Jacob, at least as it's recorded in the Bible here, is not getting frequent visits from God. Earlier in his life, they were more frequent. Visits of assurance, visits that say, everything's okay, I'm going to be with you, don't be afraid. And even though these things are still hold true, Jacob's not getting fresh visits saying these things. The same thing is true with us, of course, in our lives. God visited this planet incarnate in the Lord Jesus Christ and told us many things. And then the apostles told us many things that we have written in the Bible. But we don't have them visiting every month to repeat these things. We have them recorded in the Bible. So Jacob has promises that are just as good as they were earlier in his life when God visited him. And yet, perhaps it's easier to trust back when there's a little bit of pressure. So, Joseph's brothers now go down to Egypt. Why do 10 go? Why not? Why risk losing all 10? Probably the case that they needed to carry back as much as they could. So Benjamin would be in his 20s at this time, fully capable of being of help in that, and Jacob still would not let him go. So they get now to Joseph. Now, how they come about to be in front of Joseph is not told to us. It's unlikely that Joseph himself would have interrogated everybody that came through. Maybe he had his people out there on the lookout for them, but somehow they get before Joseph. Now look at verse 6. Now Joseph was governor over all the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized spoke roughly to them. And he said to them, "Where do you come from?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan, to buy food." So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. So then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them, and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness or the weak, exposed areas of the land." And they said to him, "No, my lord, but your servants have come to buy food. We are all one man's sons, and we are honest men. Your servants are not spies." And he said to them, "No, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land." And they said, "Your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And in fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more." But Joseph said to him, "It is as I spoke to you, saying you are spies. In this manner you shall be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you, and let him bring your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be tested, to see whether there is any truth in you. Or else, by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies." So he put them all together in prison 3 days. "If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house. But you go and carry grain for the famine to your houses. And bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified, and you shall not die." And they agreed so. Then they said to one another, "We are truly guilty concerning our brother. For we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore this distress has come upon us." Reuben answered them, saying, "Did I not speak to you, saying, 'Do not sin against the boy,' and you would not listen? Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us." But they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter. He turned himself away from them and wept. And he returned to them again and talked with them. And he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. Read that, I don't know if any of us were in Joseph's shoes if we would have behaved exactly as he did. It is unusual. But let's think about it a little bit, of what he did and maybe why he did it. First of all, the first thing Joseph needed to find out from them was the truth. Joseph needed to find out exactly what's going on with their father, exactly what's going on among them, exactly what they think of Benjamin. Because he saw Benjamin wasn't there, you'd think Joseph might think at first, you know, "I don't see Benjamin. Did they kill him?" Or, I mean, he was the other favorite of the father, you know. He needs to find out if they're repentant, what the state of things. He needs to find out a lot of things. And it's a lot easier to find out the truth from someone when you've got the fear in them. I don't know if you've seen on the news, sometimes you'll see it, and the police get all kinds of people. They're trying to find out what happened in an incident. Sometimes you see on the news somebody that can just lie their pants off. I mean, they just lie about everything. Some of you may know these people. I mean, they're in business, you know, and they're on the phone with somebody. "Yeah, no, 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 I can't do that. I have another job tonight, but I can get there tomorrow." "Yeah, okay, great." And you know they're going out partying that night. You don't have a job. And some people lying they're your Ryan Lochte types. Ryan Lochte and his friends, they plotted hatched up a story that wasn't true about what happened to them in Rio. That a police officer or somebody dressed as a police officer had basically shaken them down, held them at gunpoint. In fact, what happened really was a lot more embarrassing for them. So they concocted this story. And I saw Ryan Lochte on TV being interviewed after he was and after some questions had arisen about what happened. And he just looked right at the camera and just flat out lied, giving all these details. And the Rio police, not that they're a bunch of saints, but anyway, the Rio police, they held the other two. They wouldn't let them leave the country. And they put fear into them of things that will happen to them if they don't tell me. it was only when they got the fear into them that they started saying, all right, look, we're just going to come clean and say everything that happened. Here, we did this, we did that, and the truth was a pain. So these brothers are now in front of Joseph, and Joseph's not going to just talk to them and just say, so, well, kind of tell me your story and let them just be free to make up whatever. He immediately accuses them, and he has all of the power of Egypt behind him. And he's getting them shaking. and so they're saying, no, we're not spies. Look at verse 11. We are all one man's sons. In other words, look, if we put together a spy ring, why would we do it with all brothers? I mean, you would get one from here and, you know, the best from over here. It's not really a family affair to do. We're all the sons of one man, and we're not spies. So he said, they say, look, we're 12 sons. 10 of us are here. And then they start telling the truth. So then he starts making demands of them. Demands, stern words that Benjamin, that if he doesn't see Benjamin, they'll never come back. This, by the way, would help ensure Benjamin's survival in case they ever did get ideas to do something to Benjamin. Stern words, Benjamin must come. He puts them all in prison for 3 days. That puts more fear into them. This guy is serious. This guy, you do not lie to this fellow. You tell him exactly what's the truth. And in these 3 days, the people can think. He puts them in prison together. And they don't know that he knows their language. And at one point, he hears them confessing. And Reuben saying, didn't I speak to you saying, don't do this? And in verse 21, they're saying, we are truly guilty concerning our brother. For we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us. And we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. That for the last 20 years, who was eating at them? The brothers. Maybe they thought once they got rid of Joseph, things would be mourning back at home for about a month or something, but eventually life would go on and everybody would be happy without Joseph. And it never recovered. Jacob never recovered. And the brothers had this eating at them the whole time. And it's coming out now. And Joseph can hear all of this, and he understands them, but they don't know he understands. And then he sends them all away, but keeps one there for surety. And who does he pick? Who does he pick to keep? Simeon, the tough guy. Reuben was a little gentler. We find that out in various passages, and maybe even here. Is taking into account verse 22 when he hears Reuben saying, did I tell you not to do it? So he goes to Simeon, the one who headed up this murder in Shechem. And right in front of all the other brothers, he takes the toughest one and he binds them in front of them. Says, all right, you go back. Take the two back and you come bring your brother. Let's look down at chapter 43 now. Chapter 42, verse 36. Then after they get back, and they tell him everything that happened, verse 36, and Jacob, their father, said to them, you have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin. All these things are against me. Then Reuben spoke to his father, saying, he said this rashly, I suppose. Kill my two sons if I do not bring him back to you. Put him in my hands, and I will bring him to you. But he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If any calamity should befall him upon the way, you would bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now, Jacob is resolute. Benjamin is not going. So the Lord, developing of Jacob, puts him into a corner. Look at 43:1. Now the famine was severe in the land. They'd eaten the grain. And he says, go back, buy us a little food. Verse 3, but Judah spoke. Now from here on out, you're going to see Judah taking a leading role. He's going to be the spokesman of the group. But Judah spoke to him, saying, the man solemnly warned us, saying, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you send us with us, if you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. Look down at verse 6. And Israel said, why do you deal so wrongfully with me as to tell the man whether you have still another brother? And they turned back and said, how could we possibly know he was going to say, bring him down here? In Jacob's inner turmoil and frustration, he just, why did you say you had another brother? So he's finally put into a corner, and he says, all right. This is after Judah guarantees Benjamin's safety. Jacob finally relents. He says that they can take a gift. Look down at verse 10 to see how long it took them to come around. For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned this second time. It's about a 2 weeks down and 2 weeks back if you don't take it leisurely down to Egypt. So about a month period of time, not counting any time that you'd be in Egypt. So when it came time where they really needed to go, Jacob delays at least for a month more. That's how much he didn't want them to go. Verse 11, and their father Israel said to them, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down a present for the man, a little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh, pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double money in your hand and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight. Take your brother also and rise, go back to the man. And may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your other brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved. Nothing else he could do, so he sends a gift. He tells them to take the money back. Joseph had actually had their money put back in their sacks. They didn't realize it until they got back home. And that put more fear into them. What if he thinks they're thieves when they get back? But there's nothing they can do. They have to go back to Joseph. They go back, and now they stand before Joseph, verse 16. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of the house, take these men to my home and slaughter an animal and make ready, for these men will dine with me at noon. Verse 18, now the men were afraid because they were brought to Joseph's house. They said, it is because of the money which we return in our sacks for the first time that we are brought in, so that he may make a case against us and seize us and take us as slaves. Think about this. When Joseph had their money put back in their sacks, they went back to Jacob. The next time they would have to go and approach Joseph, they have no idea how they're going to be received. He might just have them killed instantly. Who knows? This is kind of putting them in the same situation that Jacob was in years before when Jacob had to see Esau. Do you remember how much Jacob dreaded that? He's going to go see Esau. How does Esau feel about him? Is he going to kill him the moment he sees him? He sees him. And Joseph has to come and face Esau. And how it made him dependent on the Lord, and how he prayed that the Lord would deliver him from the hand of Esau. And now Jacob is sort of put in this position, even though he doesn't physically go. But the sons are definitely put in the same position because they physically go before Joseph. And they don't know what he's going to be like to them because of this money issue. It's something that drives people to their knees. I wonder what Jacob's prayer life was like all the time that they were gone. So Joseph, when he sees Benjamin there, he starts treating Benjamin better than the other brothers. He has this meal with them, and he gives Benjamin 5 times the delicacies that the others get. Benjamin's treated like something really special. Now, why is this? Well, earlier in life, Joseph was treated special by his father. And what did the brothers do to him? Got rid of him. Now he's putting Benjamin in the same spot. And he can tell from everything that's going on that Jacob if they have changed their tune, see if they've changed their ways from resenting the special one, or whether they have better character than that and are honoring their father. So he treats them well, and he fills them with grain, and sends them back. And just as he's sending them back, he has his servant put his silver cup into the sack of Benjamin. He says, okay, send them along their way. So they go along their way. They don't get too far. Joseph says, okay, I want you to go get them. Bring them back, because Joseph stole my cup. I'm sure he said more words than that, catching the plan. The servant goes up and says, whoa, stop, you guys. What's going on? He says, why do you repay good with evil? What are you talking about? We were nothing but nice to you. We rolled out the red carpet, and now you go steal from us? No, we didn't do that. Joseph's silver cup is missing. One of you has it. We don't have it. Search. Wherever you find it, you find it among us, we'll all be guilty. Goes to the oldest down to the youngest. Opens the sack. Nothing there, nothing there, nothing there. Get to Benjamin's sack. Open it up. There's the silver cup. They're brought back to Pharaoh, back to Joseph. One thing that couldn't happen on this trip is happening. Whatever happens, Jacob says, Benjamin must return. The question now is, they have a choice. Convenience would let them give up Benjamin. Be free. Go back and tell their dad, sorry, Dad, Benjamin's gone. It wasn't our fault. And if Dad doesn't like it, well, that's just the way it was with Joseph. Or have they changed? And the answer is that they changed. Judah's got something now. Judah, the same one who used that tongue of his to say, let's sell him off as a slave, now has to stand up and use that tongue for all its worth. Stand up and delivers like a statesman. Look at chapter 44, verse 18. Then Judah came near to him and said, oh, my lord, please let your servant speak a word in my lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh. This guy's a politician. And then we look at him go, my lord asked the servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said to my lord, we have a father, an old man, a child of his old age who is young, whose brother is dead, and he is alone. He alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him. Then you said to your servant, bring him down to me that I may set my eyes on him. And we said to my lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he could leave his father would die. But you said to your servant, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more. So it was when we went up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my lord. And our father said, go back and buy us a little food. But we said, we cannot go down if our youngest brother is not with us. If he is with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face unless our younger brother is with us. Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons, and the one went out from me. And I said, surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. But if you take this one also from me, and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now, therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with me, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he will die. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Now, therefore, please, let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father self-obviously, let the punishment that Benjamin deserves fall on me. Because if it doesn't do it that way, it doesn't happen that way, my father's will go down to the grave in sorrow. What a difference. What a difference has been brought about as the brothers went through the years and this was eating at them. And they saw that their plan maybe didn't really come to fruition like they thought. And the family was never the same. And now the maneuvers of Joseph pointedly getting them to this juncture of decision. And Judah stands up as representative of the group and says, take my life instead of his and let him go. It's at this point that Joseph is going to reveal himself to his brothers. Now, time won't let us do that, but that's what's going to happen. And just like Israel, when they went through that time of tribulation, in the future, would go through that time of tribulation, and things are going to get awful for them. They're going to cry out for a Savior. Lord Jesus himself will come and shock all of them. And there will be great mourning for what they've done. So also now, and we'll have to do it next week, the brothers are going to find out that